Okay, good morning, everybody. Today we're going to speak about Yashan, some basics, without getting too deep into it that confuses everybody. I'm going to be speaking on five different parts. Each one of them, I'm guessing 5 to 10 minutes. First, we'll do some real basics. Then we'll talk for a few minutes about why some people care about Yashan and some people don't. I'm going to explain to you a little bit about how the guide to Yashan Chadash works, as it's called. We'll go some details, grain by grain, just to get a feel for what goes on. And last, we'll talk about Yashan here in Chicago. What's special here, or how things run here in Chicago. Okay. First thing is, Yashan only applies to the 5 primary grains: wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats. Anything that doesn't have one of those grains is not a Yashan issue. So when somebody calls up and says, you know, I have rice cakes and I want to know if they're Yashan, okay, we just say, no, it's not a problem, don't worry about it. Okay, the only things that have these 5 primary grains, as we talk later on in the second to last section, I'm going to talk to you more details about which of those things within wheat and barley, etc., could be an issue. But it can only be things that have those 5 grains in it. The second thing is that the word Yashan means old, and the word Chadash, which is the opposite of Yashan, means new. Chadash means new. What does that mean, new and old? And that is as follows. The Yashan means is every grain, every one of these 5 grains, is not allowed to be eaten by those who care about eating Yashan, cannot be eaten unless it was in existence on the second day of Pesach, the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach. If it was there, if it was even starting to grow, even taking root by the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach, then that item has been around for a while. It's called Yashan. It's old. It's been here for a long time. If it was planted after that time, someone planted something after Pesach, then that's Chadash. It's new. It's in a relative sense, it's new until it hits the next Pesach. Come the next Pesach, it becomes Yashan. Okay, so when we say something is Yashan, means it's old. It's been around for a while, means since before Pesach. And Chadash means it's new. It's newer since Pesach. So, for example, if something was grown a year and a half ago, then it's automatically Yashan. So people ask us, I know that this was Yashan last year, but this box of noodles, is it still Yashan this year? Okay, so that's from a question from ignorance. Okay, because once Pesach passes, everything at that point becomes what we call Yashan. Okay, so if you look at don't worry about these details exactly, but if you look at a calendar for the year, from Pesach until like around now. Now we're holding right before Tisha B'Av, until the middle of the summer, everything is Yashan. Because anything that's in the market, if you go to the store and you buy a box of cookies, that box of cookies comes from grain that was planted before Pesach. I mean, that grain is from many, many months ago, so that for sure is Yashan. It's only now in the summertime, in the late summer, the first harvest of things that were planted after Pesach start to come to market, and then slowly as we go through more like Rosh Hashanah time, Sukkot time, do more and more things start becoming a problem. And then as we get into the winter, even more things become a concern.
Can I ask how long it takes from planting seeds to the time that you harvest?
So we'll talk in a minute about spring wheat, what it's called. It's planted right after Pesach. It gets harvested in the summer, and it comes to market within a few weeks after that. Okay, so we'll talk about how we know these kind of information, but that's what happens.
But the shelf life of things is very long. So how do you know that it was there?
Whether it's from before or after?
Before, after, the previous period.
I'm going to explain to you. I'm just trying to give just the ideas of what makes something Chadash or Yashan. Yashan, again, means it's old. So as a sort of a rule of thumb, Chadash becomes a problem around this time of the year, maybe Rosh Hashanah, until through the winter, gets more and more things become a question. And then come Pesach, everything is good.
What about the root?
Okay. I actually was not going to explain that, but I'm more than happy to explain just for a minute, just for the hashkafa of it, if you'd like to understand. If you'd like to understand is that there are many mitzvahs in the Torah, the Ramban explains, there are many mitzvahs in the Torah that are given that before we partake of something of our own, we recognize that Hashem is the one who gives it to us. So before we partake of our own, of these grains, which are considered the primary grains that are around, we first have to show our recognition that Hashem is the one who gave it to us. And that happened on the second day of Pesach, when we brought a carbon in the basement, it's called the carbon ha'imer, like the same word from Sfiris ha'imer. We count from that day when they brought the carbon. Once we brought that carbon to Hashem, it's brought from barley. The first grain that grows is the barley. Once we give some of that to Hashem, now, so to speak, now we're okay to eat from it. Before we've given any of that over, it's inappropriate to us feeding ourselves. Okay, so those are the basics. It's just what makes food is or is not yashar. Okay, so now, as many of you know, I won't take a poll here in the room, but most from people in the United States are not careful about only eating yashin. Most of them will eat anything, whether it is or is not yashin. We ourselves, seriously, give hashgacha to food that's not yashin, recognizing that that's considered acceptable as kosher. But at the same time, there are other people who will only eat yashin, okay? In the way the terminology is, they're machped on yashin. They're careful to only eat food that's yashin. So, where does that come from? In short, what that is as follows. The Gemara talks about whether a person has to be particular about eating yashin even out of Eretz Yisrael. Does it apply even out of Eretz Yisrael? The Shulchan Aruch brings down the conclusion, the Rambam brings down the conclusion of that din is that, yes, a person needs to be careful to only eat yashin even out of Eretz Yisrael, even when there's no Beis HaMikdash. It applies at all times and all places. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, the Rambam brings it. That's very accepted as what should be the halacha. At the same time, the Rambam says, you know, there might be reasons why you don't have to do it where we live, because it's not so clear, it's something a little complicated called a svekzveker, it's not so clear whether the grain we have is actually from this year. Maybe the grain that I have was what's been sitting in a silo for many months, and it's been from even before Pesach. Others give other reasons. Maybe it doesn't apply to farms that are farmed by not-Jewish people. The farmer was not Jewish, maybe then it doesn't apply. Maybe it doesn't apply in chutzarts altogether, even though the Gemara seems to say that it does. So there are different opinions. Again, if you open up the Shulchan Aruch itself, the Shulchan Aruch says, of course, you have to be particular. If you look at the practice of most fine from people, most people are not particular to only eat yashar. So in the end, it really depends on your Messiah, on who you come from, where it came from that you find your piyut in halacha. Again, most Jews are not particular. And the way it sort of breaks down to the following. In Eretz Yisrael, what we call the Mahadran Hashgachas, the better, I don't know if that's the right word, but the better Hashgachas are all particular that the food has to always be yashar. Okay, so for example, if you'll see something with a recommended Hashgacha in Eretz Yisrael, that food is automatically yashar. Okay, they're always careful about it. Most Americans are not.
Since when is this? Do you know? Is it a reason?
That the Israelis better Hashgachas? As far as I know, it's been around for a long time. In America, the mainstream hashgachas and the mainstream from community is not particular, and they're not careful about yashin. Hasidim are particularly not makban on yashin, but the, if you want to call it from the more yeshivish community, and in Chicago, the brisk community, is very particular about it. Okay, so there's different, if you want to use different groups of what people do. By no means is this the forum to discuss the gory details of that, or why one should or shouldn't do that. But there are people out there who take it very seriously, and the people who completely ignore it. They pay completely no attention to whether food is or is not yashar. Any questions where we are so far? Yes?
If you buy flour, and I assume the FDA says that if you make flour, it has to have an expiration date, it has to be by. It's a defined amount of time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is, but I would think so.
Yes.
Did you rely on that date on the flour package to know whether it was something from before Pesach?
So we're going to talk, when we talk about the guide to Chadash, that's exactly what the guide tries to do, to help you pinpoint whether you think is or is not Chadash. Yes.
For those who are particular in Eretz Yisrael, does it only person or the grain? Meaning, if it's grain from Eretz Yisrael coming to America, how does it feel?
So there's more reason to be careful about grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael than that grew out of Eretz Yisrael. So a little bit depends on the grain, not on the person. But it's just, it's different practices, you know what I mean? If somebody here may go to the Rav and the Rav will tell them, yes, you should be careful. He said, no, don't worry about it. We're never careful about it. Don't worry about it for you. So, okay.
Before you go to the next slide.
Yes.
Are you going to tell us who they are and what they
do? No. I try to put on enough text so that everybody can recognize their favorite couple on the slide. And you say, oh, good, I'm glad that my person is up there. I hope everybody found someone here that they like. And I don't know who the other guy is with the big beard, but I like the guy with my beard. And that's.
I was going to say, for example, you could put Bob Vera over there. Was he involved with this issue?
No. Again, as I mentioned, in particular, Hasidim are particularly not Makhdan on Yashar. Okay. The next thing is the Guide to Chadash. Okay. What is the Guide to Chadash? 30, 40, I don't know how many years, maybe 30, 40 years ago, there was a group of people who wanted to be careful about only eating yashan. That's what they wanted to do. And they started on their own collecting information to how they could do it themselves. Okay? It by no means was then what it is now. Okay? Now it's much more popular and much more easy for people to do that, to keep eating only yashan. At that time, there's this little group of people. They actually, when they asked Rav Moshe Feinstein at that time, should they tell people about what they're doing? He said, look, just keep it quiet. You do what you want to do and pass it among yourselves, but keep it relatively quiet. That's changed now. But at that time, they kept thinking, they sort of on their own, they were collecting information and to try to figure out how they themselves could be careful about eating yashan. Okay? Part two, which is not for today, is if we ever spoke about this again, I would explain to you how it's really pretty easy. You know, there's the 80-20 rule. It's really pretty easy for people to just about be completely yashan, okay, with very little effort. Okay? So, but that's what they were doing. They said, look, let's do what we can to make our food yashan. And they went through all, they started all kinds of things. And slowly with time, this person, Mr. or Rabbi Herman, I don't know how he goes by, collected more and more information to the point that every year he puts out a number of versions of what's called the Guide to Chumash. Okay? And that's the Bible of how people know what's going on if they want to eat only yashan. Okay? That's what the guide looks like. This is from an old version, but that's what the guide looks like. So first I just wanted to tell you how you should get it. The people who answer questions, the CRC office gets it, but if you want to answer questions, all information about yashan comes from here. Okay, you could get it. There's a couple different ways you can get it. You could just email. You can send an email to that email address. It'll bounce you right back with the guide. You could subscribe. You could get it. It's always on our website. Rabbi Sharp puts it on as soon as it comes out. Every time there's an update or a new one, he pops it onto there. Or you can order it for a few dollars. You can order your own that comes to your house. Okay, so and this is it. This is the way people know what is or is not yashan, except, of course, if it says it on the package. Okay, so how does the guide work? Okay? How does he figure out which food is yashan and which food is not? I mean, how would he know whether the box of cookies that I have is or is not yashan? So it's really a two-part approach. There's a little third part afterwards. Okay? Two-part approach is like this. First is, figure out the cutoff dates. What I mean, what's a cutoff date? The government, United States government, tracks every commodity in the United States. Every crop, you get a report every single week of every crop in every state of where it is. If you want to know how much cotton was planted, well, in Alabama, this many percent is planted, this many at this stage, and at this stage, and at this stage. Okay? And they track wheat and barley just like they track everything else. So, by watching the government reports, you can know exactly when stuff was planted, that is to say, to know if it was planted before or after Pesach, and you can also know when it was harvested. You can know when where it's moving along in the whole process. You could watch it. Every single week, the government puts out a report of every grain to tell you, this is where it's up to. This is where it's up. It's been planted. It's at this stage of growth. Now it's been harvested. And then, together with that, he's in contact with the mills. And he says to the mill, when are you going to start using the new flour that grew from this year's crop, meaning the after Pesach crop? Okay? When the new grain starts being processed in a mill, it's not a small thing. It's not like it's just, today we got a truck from last year's grain, and now we got a truck from the new grain. It's a big to-do. It has to do with protein levels. It's a big to-do when they switch over. So he tracks it. Okay? He knows, and he determines a cutoff date. The cutoff date for barley is this day. The cutoff date for oats is this day. Cutoff meaning is, this is the day, from before then, everything was for sure yashan. After that, the mills and the processing plants started getting the new produce. Okay, and then he determines a cutoff date. His cutoff date will be August 22nd. Okay, he has a date and he decides this is his cutoff date of when afterwards they're using the new grains. And then he looks at the package of food and he'll tell you, I'll explain to you in a second, he can tell you how to look at the package and know when it was made. So if the cutoff date is September 1st and this package of food was made on September 2nd, it was made after the cutoff date. Well, if it's after his cutoff date, then it's potentially chavish. If it was the cutoff date is September 1st and this was made on August 10th, well, then it's before the cutoff date, then it's for sure yashan. Okay? So that's the approach that he uses to determine whether something is or is not yashan. He decides, this is the cutoff date. Until this date, barley was yashan in the processing plant. Then he says, okay, well, when was this package made? When was this food made? Before that date or after that date? And so with those two pieces of information, you could pick up a package of food and figure out whether it is or is not yashan. Okay? That's
why does the government care so much about this?
It's for helping farmers, and it helps people who track grains and things like that, that they're keeping track of all, when everything grows. I can't tell you exactly why they do it, but they're very meticulous. And very, I'm telling you, by state, yeah. Every week, by every state, by every crop.
So is every state a different date then?
So what he does is, every era, he does it roughly by when it's coming in. It's not exact. You're right. If this state is a little before that state, it's not exact. But if you read the guide, you find out that the Midwest always gets their stuff earlier. I guess we're closer to certain farmers, and we get it earlier. But that's, he makes his cutting. He says, the Midwest, the cutoff is like this, and everybody else, the cutoff is like that. Okay, and then...
Other countries, the Argentina, they have different seasons?
Yes, this is only for the United States. I should say that. I'll say it again. It's only for the United States. Okay, this information is for the United States. The way things grow here and they grow in other countries is not always the same. Either the United States and Canada. Okay, what goes on in Canada is also very similar. Okay, we'll pause for a second.
I understand
that
for futures and grains, but I don't
understand. Okay, so a third part of the guide is, this is sort of like an aside, which is, he also gets information on which products have hashkacha for yashan, okay? Or they are always yashan, okay? If a certain plant only uses a certain thing that's always yashan, he tracks them also. So part one and two, which is to determine a particular box of cookies or a bag of pasta, that's, so to speak, the main part of the guide, but he also collects lots of information on who gives hashkacha on a product. If we tell him that Tel Aviv pizza is always going to be yashan, or we tell him that this packaged good is always yashan, the Rav HaMapsha takes responsibility, he puts it to the guard. People know to look out for those things.
So Yosef Herman, then, the author of this guide to Chodesh, is working with the federal government.
No, the federal government publishes it. He just pushes the information. Then you'll see in a second, he then goes to manufacturers and says, how can I read the code on your package to know when your product was made? So if he knows that the as of September 1st is when the new grain is coming to town, and he says, manufacturer, I could tell that yours was made before after September 1st, then I could tell you if it's good or not good. And so the government is just pushing out this information. They just push out reports every week, comes out.
I was to say they don't have a very large stock of old flour sitting there, and you know, Chodesh is now on this day, but they're still using old stock.
It's a good question. As the years have gone on, actually, the United States holds less and less stock of old produce. He tracks it also. The government tracks it also, how much they have. But it's true that at a specific manufacturer, let's say this particular bakery, is getting in, we know that the cutoff date was, let's say, September 1st. But they still have bins and bins of flour. So it's true that past the cutoff date, there's a certain amount of stuff is still being used past the cutoff date that was just left in the warehouse. What?
You're assuming it's hush.
But he's saying, past that cutoff date, we can't be sure that it is. Okay, so if the cutoff date is September 1st, if it was made on September 2nd, is it chances are they probably still had old stuff? Probably. But he has to use some way to determine it. So he says, this is when the mill started shipping it to manufacturers. So he uses that as his cutoff.
All right, so those who hold yashin then will buy, stack up. Manufacturers or people, individuals, will stock up before that cutoff date.
So, right? Actually, not necessarily. If we ever do our second part of how to do this in your house, I'll explain to you how they do it.
Thank you.
At this point, 30 years ago, that's what people did. Okay, nowadays, it's not necessary. They don't need to do that. Okay, there are lots of ways of eating yashan without having to stock up.
Well, you know what, Jules, out of pasta because everybody hit the aisles.
Right. You're up here for part two? You're up here for part two? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Don't leave.
No, it's not going to be today. No, not today.
Oh, part two has
session. Session two. Yeah. Okay. Session two. Today we're trying to talk about how we understand yashan, how we help someone who wants those things, whether something is or is not yashan, etc. If you want to know how to run yashan in your house, part two. Okay. 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 So, now we're going to try to understand what people find most complicating about the guide. And that is, how do you know when the food is made? Okay, and he's got pages and pages to tell you for each thing, not pages for each thing, but pages of dates and information to figure out when things were made. Okay? And it goes like this. There are two basic ways to figure out when a product was actually manufactured. Okay? There are two basic ways. The first one is by the expiration date. Okay? It says, this product expires on this day. Okay? Don't use it after a certain day. Call the manufacturer. How much time do you write for your expiration date before you manufactured it? And they say, for this many, I write 6 months after I produce it, that's when it expires. Well, that tells me that if it was produced on this day, I know when the expiration date, I know when it was, if it expires, feel like this. The company tells the guy, this is how many months we write that it should expire. This is how many days it expires. Okay, for example. Barilla oven-ready pasta. Okay? The company tells him that it expires 20 months after it was packed. Okay? Well, once they tell me that, if I look at the box and it says that it expires in May 2015, what do I know now? Okay, if I count that, I'm going to find out that it was made in September 2013. Okay, so just, the company tells me the expiration date is this many months or weeks or days, whatever it is, after it was produced, so then I could track back and figure out when it was made. Okay, so Mr. Herman does that for you. He goes to the company and says, tell me, how much time do you give before you let your pasta and your everything, he does a zillion things, how much time do you give before you let it expire? They give him the information, it's not private, it's what it is, and then look at the code, it says expires on May 14, 2015, if we count backwards, we find out that it expires on a certain day. Okay? So now, if September 14th was before or after the cutoff date in that year, in the year 2013, if it was before or after, you can now know whether this box was or was not Yashin. Okay, now, obviously this box is Yashin today. I mean, you don't want to eat it anyhow. But besides that, I mean, that's fine. But it's Yashin because if it was produced in 2013, it's been through a lot of Pesach. Pesach 2014, 15, and 16. It's been through. But this pasta was in the box on 2013. So it passed through Pesach of 2014, and 15, and 16. So it's Yashin. It's been in existence over Pesach.
So even though the flour might have not, the original flour
was Chodesh, when it was made into pasta, but then came 6 months later, it hit Pesach 2014, okay, now it's good, now you can eat it. So now, this thing is, so to speak, very Yashin, it's expired, don't eat it anyhow, but it's very Yashin because it passed through many Pesachs, and we're good, it doesn't have a concern.
So at some point, the Chodesh becomes Yashin.
Every Pesach. Second day, the first day of Chol Moed Pesach, everything becomes Yashin. Everything is Yashin. Okay? Yes. And Rabbi Eisenbach breathes a sigh of relief and he says, whew, no more Yashin questions for the next few months.
I can imagine this is a full-time job.
For Mr. Herman?
Right, because, for example, maybe something happened, there's a variable, and they changed the expiration date instead of being X amount, it became shorter.
So does
he call every piece?
So there's two parts of what he does. One is in the lead-up, like this time of the year, he's collecting information from the companies. And then once the time comes, it looks like now, he starts an opposite, which is consumers start bombarding him with questions. He answers questions on the phone. He doesn't pick up the phone, but people leave him messages saying, I have a box of this and this, and I can't find it in the garden. Is it okay or not? And then he researches it for them live, leaves them a message every night. Okay? So he runs this for the later six months of the year. He's sitting answering questions and researching things for people. Yeah, so the person puts a lot of effort into it. Okay, a lot of work goes into this. He doesn't get paid a salary. It used to be completely for free. In recent years, you have to pay if you want the printed card. The email card you get for free. But that's just like to cover postage and stuff.
You can leave him
a message. You leave a message saying, hi, I have a box of these cookies, and I can't find it in the card, and it says this and this code on it, or the code says the wrong thing. I was expecting, is it good? And you call back that night. And there's a message that says, for the person who called about this thing, and this, and this thing. He doesn't know who you are. He just says 20 messages saying, for the person who called about this, and about this, and about this, and here's the answer to everybody's questions, okay? And he puts in a lot of effort, this person. I mean, it's...
But there are different harvests, too. Like, this is ongoing and changing all the time, I would think,
so,
information. Because there could be harvest in January, too.
So, he's tracking. He is watching everything. It puts in an amazing amount of work. Again, it started off as a little thing for a couple of people. For, so to speak, his friends, you know, a small group of people. With time it expanded, you would think at this point somebody would pay him a salary. Literally, he spends amazing amounts of energy and time on doing this. Okay. No. This is just, from what we understand, just the same Shemayim. He's doing it, he wants to do, help people. Okay, so the simplest way is when there's an expiration date. Company has an expiration date. You look in the guide, it tells you, this is how to understand the expiration date. It's 20 months, it's 6 months, it's 2 months after packing, and then you know when it was made. Okay? Then you can turn back to, and he says, and then it tells you the cutoff date. Cutoff date, and I know when it was made, I know whether it was good or it's not good. Okay? Now, the other one that's more complicated is production date codes. And that means as follows. Manufacturers who don't put an expiration date will put a production date. They'll stamp it onto their product. I didn't put pictures onto it, but if you look on any package, if you look carefully enough, you'll see inkjetted on some gibberish, a bunch of numbers and letters, etc. Okay, so he says to you, I'm going to show you the six main ways that he shows you of how a production code looks like. And each one of them, when you look at this number just by itself, 021815, not very clear what that means. And this is actually a pretty simple example, okay, where 2 means February, 18th of February in 2015. Okay, so they, as they manufactured it, excuse me, they inked it onto it, this was made on February 18th, 2015. That's for their own internal control. Company just wants to keep track of things. If somebody calls up, this is a question. So this is a pretty simple code, okay? Again, this tells us it was made on this day. Then he says to you, this product has in it barley. The cutoff date for barley is whatever day, and now it's good or it's not good. Okay, here's an example of that. Okay, here's that cutoff date. It was produced on February 18th. Okay, if the cutoff date is afterwards, if the cutoff date is past February 18th, then this food is yashan. It was made before the cutoff date. If the cutoff date is earlier, then you would say it's chadash, or at least it's possibly chadash. Okay, the cutoff, if this was made on February 18th, okay, if the cutoff date was February 19th, that means everything from February 19th and on is chadash. So everything from February 19th and early...
That's what he wrote. Cutoff date February 19th.
Right.
The
cutoff for barley is the new barley came in on February 19th. So if this was in on February 18th, this was made before the new barley showed up. So it's okay. It was made before the cutoff date. It was made before the new stuff came in. So it's yashan. It's very confusing. I know. People.
I don't understand how to read the guide and tell people
that yashan. That's why we're here. I'll do it again. Okay, this thing was made on February 18th. We got that part so far?
Right.
It was made on February 18th. Okay, now, how do I know if it's chadash or yashan? Well, when did this company get their new barley? If they got it on February 19th, would this be chadash or would it be yashan? If they got this new stuff on February 19th, that means on February 18th they're using last year's stuff. Okay. So then it's yashan, it's old. They're using old barley. If they got their new barley on February 17th, then they're already using the new stuff and making this product.
Okay. So are they mandated by the FDA to either put out an expiration date or a production date?
I don't know, but just about everything's got something on. If you look carefully enough. Cutoff date means when did they get the new stuff? So if they got the new stuff after this was produced, so what's the problem? And this was made with old stuff.
So
it's made before the cutoff date.
Yes. Okay. So. Okay, I'm going to go through 5 other ways that production dates look like. Okay, here's another one. Okay, 13230. Okay, what does that mean? 13, he tells you. For this company, each company has their way of doing it. He tells you. In this company, 13 means the year. It means 2013. 230 means the 230th day of the year. Okay? Which is August 18th. Okay? You can look on the internet. You can buy a chart. It's August 18th. So, 13230 means it was made on August 18th of 2013. Okay? That's how this company does it. Lots of people do it like that. It's a very common way to use it. Just to write it like that.
It's very easy to adjust the numbers.
Like right. Every midnight, it just turns them
down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's another one. It's a similar one. This is made on the 2425. And this company means this. It was made on the 242nd day of the 5 year, of the 2015. So again, if it was made on this day, the cutoff date, and that is August 30th. If the cutoff date is September 1st, it was made before they got the new produce in. So this stuff is yashan. If the cutoff date was August 15th, this was made after that, and it's potentially chadash.
So we need to know what the cutoff date is equal to in the number of days of the year.
Open up the book. Right. If you open up his guide, it says it right there. It says for this product, it says this is their code, and this is the cutoff date for that company. Right. This is what you need to do. Okay? Number 4. If that company uses days of the year, he tells it to you. It's right there. Okay, this is almost the same thing. Here they put the year first. 3/2/24. Okay, that's year 3 means 2013, and 2/24 is 2/24 day of the year. Okay. I guess they figure that if this product is around from 2003, not from 2013, you probably can tell. Okay. Number 5. Okay, this company is a little different. They go 230, stop it, AC.
means it was a hot day and the air conditioning.
Air conditioning. No, that's not what it means. That means it's 224 days a year. And in this company, AC is their own special way of counting years. Okay? I don't know. Whatever it means for this company, maybe they started...
230.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Yes. Typo. Okay. Sorry. 230 days a year. And AC means... Who knows what it means to that company? Maybe they started counting on... 2012 when they opened up, and the first year was A, and the next year was B, and the next year was C. However they figured it out, okay, he'll tell you. Don't, he'll tell you what it means. But AC is some special way of their own marking what year it is. Instead of marking with a number, they mark with a letter based on some whatever mishigas they have or how they want to count it. Okay, yeah, that's a title. Sorry. Okay, and number six is another company who's doing it over here. The M9 will tell you. He probably knows what M9 stands for, but he doesn't, it's not important. Don't pay any attention to it. Okay, M9 maybe means what line it was made on, means it was the guy who's running that machine. But for our purposes, 3 is the year, 230 is the day of the year, it's August 18th, so now you know when it was made. Okay? You sort of get the gist of it. Okay, the companies keep, each company finds a way to mark when the product was made. Mr. Herman says, I'll find out for them how they mark. He says, tell me, I have a package. What is M9-3230, man? They explain to him what it means. He puts it to the guy, and everybody else can... figure it out for them. Okay. Any questions left on this section? Okay. On we go. Okay. Now I'm going to... So that's how the guide works, and that's how people who want to keep Yashin, who want no information, they turn the pages of the guide, or they press Control F, and they search in the guide, and they find the thing in there, and they say, this is the information I need to know for this particular part. Now I'm going to go through the 5 different grains, and tell you a little bit more about each one of them. Okay. Here's good news. Good news first. Okay. Rye and spelt, the way they're grown in the United States, they're always Yashin. That is to say, they're planted late in the winter, and they always, by the time they come to market, by the time they get harvested, it's after Pesach. So they're always Yashin, because they're always planted before Pesach, they're always harvested after Pesach. So what a great deal. Okay, it's always Yashin. Okay. Now, rye bread contains wheat in it. Yeah, but things that just have rye or just have spelt that are made in the United States are always Yashin. Okay, that's the good news. Okay. Come on, I think I put it first. Okay. Barley. Okay, barley's not yeah, these ones are not as good. Okay, barley. How do people use barley? The most simple way to use barley is what's called pearl barley or just plain barley, like what you might put into your chal or into a soup. That begins pretty soon, like now in the fall time. When as soon as it gets harvested, they process it and off it goes to companies to sell to you. Beer is made from barley, but beer takes time until it's manufactured, until they create the beer, age the beer, it's like winter time before beers start being an issue for Yashin. And there's something called malted barley. You see that in cereals, it's in some flours. We at the Seriously are not particular about it. Too complicated to explain right now, but we are not particular. In the guide, he explains why people, some are careful and some are not. We don't pay attention to that. Okay? Those are things made out of barley. We even if it's in a product, that doesn't affect its Yashin status. We ignore it as far as Yashin status.
We can tell people who call up who are asking about it.
That we don't pay attention to those things. He says in the guide, if you care about more, like this. If you don't care about more, if you do care about it, then here's the thing.
But we don't certify it.
Yes, we do. You want it?
We make sure our bakeries are. Is it in the bakeries? Mm-hmm. Say the bakeries
are different. So it affects things that we certify, like as in bakeries, but it affects questions that people ask us. They say, can I eat this box of cookies? I picked up the guide and it said, this cereal has malted barley in it. Should I be careful about that? And then we'll answer based on this thing, that we tell them not to worry about the malted barley. Too complicated.
So everything is preference, anyways.
I call up and say, hi. My family wants only Yashin. My brother-in-law is coming over, and he only eats Yashin. I wonder if I could serve him this cereal. So
he's masking a malted barley.
So that's a fair answer. Okay, next. Oats. Okay, what do people do with oats? Oats, oatmeal, breakfast cereal, can be used for baking. It's in lots of gluten-free things. It's just for your information. People ask us, it's a regular question, is, well, if it's gluten-free, does that mean it's automatically Yashin? And they ask that because Yashin has to, the only thing that need to be Yashin are from the 5 primary grains. Well, things that are gluten-free don't have any wheat, rye, spelt, or barley in them. Okay, so they say, well, then how could it be problematic? How could it be a yashin issue if it doesn't have those grains in it? And the answer is that sometimes they have oats in them. If they don't have oats and they're gluten-free, then it's always yashin. It's not a yashin issue. But there are many gluten-free products that do have oats in them, like Cheerios. Okay, Cheerios is now gluten-free, but of course it's made completely of oats. So those things, and that begins fall, beginning of the winter, when those things start coming to market. Okay, wheat. Wheat is by far the most common thing that people have questions about for yashin. And it turns out that there are three different types of wheat. Okay? The first wheat is called winter wheat. It grows in the winter. It doesn't actually grow in the winter. It's planted before the winter. It starts to grow a little bit before the winter. Then it goes dormant for the rest of the winter. And come springtime, it continues to grow. That wheat is used for things that are crunchy, like crackers and matzah. That's what it's good for. Hard pretzels.
Cookies.
Depends. But if they're harder, then they could use winter wheat. Okay, and those are always yashin. They're always yashin because they're planted before Pesach, and they're harvested in like June. Okay? So that means that they always go through a Pesach. They get planted Sukkot time. They sit dormant they grow a little bit, then they go dormant for a couple of months, and then they continue growing after the winter. Okay? They always make it through Pesach. Okay? In the United States, you basically can't buy winter wheat that's not yashin. Okay? So winter wheat is always yashin. So for example, just as an example, when the book comes out, it'll say that this and this brand of all-purpose flour is always yashin. Why is that brand always yashin? Because that company makes their all-purpose flour out of winter wheat. Okay, he knows that that company makes their all-purpose flour out of winter wheat. Well, if they do that, then they're always yashin. Okay, that'll be in the book. It'll say, this brand is always yashin because he knows what kind of flour they use, winter wheat. Okay. The next kind of wheat is spring wheat, okay, or what you call high gluten flour or baking flour. Okay, that is grows in the springtime. It's planted in the springtime. It's used for making things that need to be fluffier or puffed up, have more gluten in them. Bread and pizza, bagels. Those get planted Pesach time. This year, even though Pesach was very late, most of it was planted after Pesach, if you're curious. The government tracked it. This year, most of it was planted after Pesach, even though Pesach was very late. Comes to the harvest around now, August time. And so as soon as it comes to market, he's already said that in the Midwest, this year, it's already coming to bakeries, to fresh bakeries. Until it gets to processed products, it takes a little more. That's the spring wheat. Okay? And then there's one last kind of wheat, which is called durum wheat. And that's a special kind of wheat that's used for making pasta. And that's similar. Come a little later in the season, wintertime, that'll already be a yashin issue.
So pasta has less of a time.
It just takes longer.
So less of a problem.
Yeah, but
of a problem.
Yeah,
more
but
time to stock up on
right.
The pasta.
Right, for those who want to stock up. Okay, and then of course I just throw this in. There's probably more things to stick on here. There are lots of places, things that have flour in them that people may not think of that have flour in them. I put down three of them: soy sauce and licorice and French fries that have like coating, like seasoning on them. But there's lots of places. There's people who want to only eat yashin need to read ingredients and see what's in there. It'll always be listed if it's in there. They have to just look around.
And there's no bittul by yashin.
There can be bittul, not for today's discussion. But usually in the products that we see, it's not buffalo. You usually don't put it in such a tiny amount that it would be buffalo. But in theory, not for today's discussion, but yes, it's possible for it to be buffalo. Okay. And just to wind up this part of grains, the things that we care about, these are the things. I've mentioned just about all these already, but these are things that you don't have to be particular about. And they are aged whiskey. Almost all whiskey is aged. So if I have a bottle of scotch, and it's 12 years old, okay, guess what? It's been through 12 Pesachs. Okay? So it's for sure yashin. Okay? If my bourbon is 3 years old, it's yashin. It's always yashin because it was around for more than a Pesach. It's always yashin. Okay? Now, there are some whiskeys that are not aged, like vodka, rum, some of those things are not aged, or even beers, I don't know if you call that a whiskey, but those things have not been through Pesach, then it's potentially an issue for them. But things that are aged, like aged whiskeys, are not a concern. Okay, I mentioned this already. Israeli Hefsherim, the Mahadran Israeli Hefsherim, are all particular that their food needs to be yashin. So if I pick up something with a Hefsher that we recommend from there, we know that it's going to be yashin. Number three, things that are made without the five primary grains, rice and corn, okay, they're always yashin. unless, again, unless there's something that's into them. If I buy something that has just rice and corn, doesn't have five grains, it's not a chadash pot. And last is, things that have vinegar in them, it's a popular question. In the United States, come on, all of our vinegar is made from corn. That's, we work with that assumption. So it has vinegar in it, and if you lived in France, and you had something, pickles made with vinegar, it could be chadash. But if you live in the United States, the vinegar is almost always corn, and therefore we don't concern ourselves with it. Any questions before I go to Chicago? Okay, last section. Okay, you guys are in Chicago. Okay, bakeries. Okay, North Shore, Emma's, and Tel Aviv are always Yashan. Betzis and Jewel, no, they're already soon will be, that things will be Chadash. Okay, restaurants. We have disclosure statement. Every restaurant's got a sign in it, and it says whether it is or is not Yashan. Hopeless for me to try to tell you what is or is not. And it changes all the time. And if you can't fix most, a lot of the signs say, ask. Right? Which is the right thing to do. If a person wants to only eat Yashan, their grandmother is coming over and she only eats Yashan, then they could go to the store and say to them, tell me, I want to buy this and this thing. Is or is it not Yashan? Okay. Caterers. Okay. As far as you understand, the Midwest Conference Center is always Yashan. Star Caterers and Siegel are just about always Yashan. And other ones, you should ask. Okay? In Chicago, a lot of the caterers and a lot of the people who make functions for the public are going to be Yashan. That has to do with the influence of Ron Salvation and the Briskers here in town, who are very strong on Eagle Yashan. So there's lots of things that are made for the public that are meant to be, are made as Yashan because there's such a sizable community who wants to eat that. Here in town, I think that is. Yeah, that is. Okay. Any more questions? Okay.